You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into a Friday edition of Locked On Vols. It's your team every day, and I'm your host, Eric Kane, telling you all about the Tennessee Volunteers. I do radio in Knoxville at 99.1 The Sports Animal. I also write for the Rival site covering Tennessee. That's volquest.com. Today is heavy recruiting. Tennessee picked up its ninth commit of the 2022 class, and wide receiver Maquarius White. We'll chat about him in segment one. In segment two, Tennessee defensive line commit Vincent Sneed checks into the show. I have a one-on-one conversation with Vincent Sneed, Tennessee football commit, in segment two. And in segment three, we'll have a couple more notes on recruiting and get you set for the weekend. That's your Friday rundown here on Locked On Vols. Before we get into the recruiting, I do want to take a couple of minutes to shout out Kimberly, Jasmine, and Tyler for dialing in for Five Star Friday. Remember, go to Apple Podcasts, go search Locked On Vols, go to rate and review. Give me five stars if you would, if you wouldn't mind. That helped me out an awful lot. If you want to leave me a positive review, would very much appreciate it. I'll give you a shout out on next week's Friday edition, Five Star Friday, here of Locked On Vols. So let's get into it. This is a Friday Locked On Vols. Tennessee picks up its ninth commit for the class of 2022 in Maquarius White. He is a three-star wide receiver, 5'11", 165 pounds, again, the class of 2022. He is from Clay Chalksville High School, and that is in Pinson, Alabama. He is the 24th rated player, this is all per Rivals, by the way, the 24th rated player in the state of Alabama. He's the 80th best wide receiver in the class, per Rivals, and he has a Rivals rating of 5.7. He has over about 25 offers. His final four were Tennessee, Louisville, Virginia Tech, and I want to say maybe Auburn. Anyway, it came down to Tennessee and Louisville. Ole Miss was the other one. But it came down to Tennessee and Louisville, and Maquarius Squirrel White chose the Volunteers over Louisville. So when you look at this class, the makeup of this class in 2022, that's now nine commits. This is the first wide receiver commit for Josh Heupel. He's joining offensive commits, Taven Jackson at quarterback, Brian Grant at offensive line, Brody Foley at tight end, Dylan Sampson at running back, and Masai Reddick at offensive line as well. So this could be the first of a couple of wide receiver commits in this class, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. But what about Maquarius White? Well, what you need to know about him, he is a speed demon. He's got burners. He's got accelerators. All the metaphors I could possibly use, this dude is fast. You watch his tape. I'll put his tape out there on my Twitter at _Kaner here at some point today. Actually, I'll link Maquarius White's bio from Rivals into the show notes. You can check out his huddle film in there. But if you watch the huddle film, now it's often just not even fair, because when you have an SEC caliber player playing at the high school level, even in Georgia, even in Alabama, even where some of the best high school football is played all across the country, Texas, California, it's still such a small percentage chance that you're playing against a college football player. It's even smaller you're playing against a Division I prospect in the caliber of SEC, and that's what Maquarius White is. So he is literally outrunning everybody. It doesn't matter if he primarily lines up in the slot. That's pretty much where he lines up, but you can also see that he lines up on the outside. He can line up in tight. He can also line up in the backfield. His high school loves to use him in a bunch of different ways, but he runs right by defenders in man coverage. He runs right by defenders in zone coverage. It's not even fair. I mean, it really isn't. And if you just look at his highlight tape, it's just him running by people. And that's enough to get you excited. Don't get me wrong. Speed kills. You can't coach speed. You can teach it. You can instruct it a little bit, but you're not going to coach up a 4.9 guy running a 4.4. That's never going to be the case. But Maquarius White can fly. All right, you watch his film. They love to use him down the field to take the top off the defense. That's easy. You got a two safety high look. He can split those guys easy. If he runs a wheel route from the slot, he can outrun a corner all day long up the sideline. And not only down the field passing, but also at or around the line of scrimmage. Bubble screens, tunnel screens. You go find the markers, you turn around and catch the ball. He's a possession receiver as well. He can do just a little bit of everything. And I think that's what's exciting about Maquarius White. Now, at the next level, his route running will need to be refined a little bit. I'm not saying it's bad, but when, quite frankly, when you can just use your speed to run right by people, you know, you can't do that in the SEC. Sure, you'll do that to some, especially if you're lined up against a linebacker or maybe a nickelback or a safety coming up in the slot. But you won't be able to do that with ease like you're doing that in high school. So I think route running will need to be refined just a little bit. Also, 165 pounds. You like to put a little bit more weight on Maquarius White. Not a lot, a little bit, because you don't want to slow him down. Now, he is the first wide receiver commit for Josh Heupel. You look at who will still be here whenever the class of 2022 is on campus. Really, you're only saying goodbye to Valus Jones Jr., potentially a guy like Cedric Tillman. I mean, you've got upperclassmen now of Jalen Hyatt's, of the Jimmys, the Callaways, the Jimmy Callaway, the Jimmy Holidays. Ramel Keaton will be a senior at this point. Anderson Kobe will be here. Walker Merrill will be here. And I know I'm forgetting some guys, but point being, you still got a lot coming back by the time Maquarius White gets on campus. But still, in this offense, when you employ 3 to 4 wide receivers at a time, you can never have enough. So that's kind of what the roster looks like by the time the fall of 2022 gets here. What about some others who could join Maquarius White in this class in terms of wide receiver? Well, three in-state products potentially, okay? Cam Miller, an athlete out of Memphis. He will play wide receiver. He's going to commit here probably in the next week to weeks, I believe, kind of sometime in the month of July, I think, is when he'll make a decision. He has Tennessee very high up on his radar. He visited Knoxville officially the last week of June. I think Tennessee is in great shape for Cam Miller. What about Isaiah Horton of the Mid-State from Murfreesboro? He's another guy. It's been kind of a Tennessee-Florida battle. I think Tennessee has continued to press. He came down twice in the month of June. Again, you can do that when you're only living about 2.5 hours away, 3 hours away. And so I think Tennessee has continued to chip away at Isaiah Horton. I think Tennessee's in pretty good shape with him as well. What about another wide receiver in Caden Pope from Hardin County? I think Tennessee's in a good position there, but Caden Pope might be taking some visits into the fall. So I would say the other two might be in better shape for Tennessee than maybe Caden Pope at this point. But potentially, I think if all three of those guys want to come, even though you've already gotten a commit from Maquarius White, I do believe Tennessee would allow 4 wide receivers in this class. Now, will it shape out that way? We will have to see. I don't know at this point, but I do think Tennessee's in really good shape for Miller and for Horton, and I think Tennessee's certainly in the running for Pope, and I do think Tennessee would take all those players because, again, you want to take the best players in the state. All three of those wide receivers who are not committed right now are all state players, okay? They are in the state of Tennessee, and they like White, and White's already committed. So we'll have to see how it all shakes down, but those are some other names that could join this class in the coming weeks to months. I do believe Cam Miller might be the first of those three to make a commit here in the next little bit. We'll have to see, but we'll have to see ultimately if any of these guys would join White in choosing Tennessee. But that's my rundown on Tennessee, the 9th commit for the class of 2022, the first wide receiver commit who committed Thursday. His name is Maquarius White. We will check in with another 2022 Josh Heupel Tennessee football commit and Vincent Sneed in segment number 2. But first, let me remind you about Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, we are almost at the All-Star break. You want to get in on that Home Run Derby action? You can play some future bets on who will win the Home Run Derby. Shohei Ohtani, who will show out in the All-Star game. It's going to be a blast. You can do that at betonline.ag. The odds, information for all your sporting needs, including baseball, like I said, the NBA playoffs. Game 2 was last night. The NHL just wrapped up with Tampa Bay winning its second straight. There's always a big-time UFC matchup just about every other weekend. So before the next pitch, before the next time your favorite team hits the court, the ice, whatever, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news. Sign up for the bonuses and the contest information. They got tons of it there. I don't want you guys to sit on the sideline anymore. I want you to put your head in the game, use your sports knowledge, and put some coin in your pocket. So right now, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive 50% off a welcome bonus on your first deposit. Promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Chatting with Tennessee defensive line commit Vincent Sneed, a 4-star per Rivals. He was the second commit for Josh Heupel in this class of 2022 and gearing up for his senior season at Winter Park High School. Vincent, how you doing today, man? What's been going on this summer outside of doing a visit to Knoxville? What going on this summer?
I've been doing really good, man. I'm doing good. I'm blessed. that woke me up this morning, so it's always good. What's been going on, you know? I've been working, trying to make some money. I'm constantly working out, man. Can't spend a summer without all those off-season workouts, because if you don't have those, man, I pray for you in the fall.
So what have you been focusing on this summer? I know that, you know, strength is obviously a big factor. And kind of how are you balancing maybe training some of the stuff for the Tennessee football program and then obviously for your high school program going into the fall?
My two big focuses I've been focusing on this summer is hand placement and lateral quickness.
Yeah, Mike Eckler, obviously you spent a lot of time with him. He'll be one of your position coaches when you get to Tennessee. Probably stresses a lot about how important hand placement is and getting off the line of scrimmage and all that. How excited are you to play for a guy like Mike Eckler and, of course, Rodney Gardner when you get to Tennessee here in just a little bit?
Well, I'm pumped, man. It's going to be a ball. Can't wait to be with some guys who know some actual football. Like, these guys are talented, man. To be able to do the things that they do for young men like me, it's a blessing. So I'm put in with the right stuff by grace of God, man.
And so you came to Knoxville a couple weekends ago officially, and we had a chance to catch up in the airport whenever you were leaving. Your family was decked out in Tennessee gear. It looked like you guys had a great time. Kind of walk me through what all went down on that visit, kind of what you did, and maybe some of the things you really, really enjoyed, you know, kind of seeing home for the first time, even after committing a couple months ago.
Well, honestly, man, you know, I got to see everything for the first time. But the way I look at that visit, it was a very good experience for myself. But that was a recruiting process for my parents. They might have recruited me. I'm committed there. Now my parents just have to see where I'm going and know they're comfortable. So throughout that tour, man, well, the visit, they were really just showing my parents mainly what I'm about to step into. And me, I'm just seeing all this for a second time a little bit. So, you know, I'm kind of used to it. I'm just excited and pumped as my parents are happy to see that boy go somewhere in a nice place.
Yeah, I know they kept you guys busy pretty much from the moment you get there on campus and that clock starts. Every minute is spent doing something. What were some of the things that your parents kind of fell in love with about Tennessee, saw what you saw in Tennessee? What were some of those things that they said maybe when you guys got home?
They really enjoyed the love and the culture, the way the football team is shifting. You know, the coaching staff has changed this football team over the past few months they've been there. And you can ask every guy on that roster, I guarantee they'll vouch for it. Because throughout the whole weekend, that's all they stressed about, the love of the coaching staff, the way things are changing, how everything is different. Man, some of the players are even telling me that they've been through three coaching staffs, and Coach Hyper's only been there for a few months, and he's had the best food out of all of them. When somebody tells you something as simple as that, doesn't get no better than that, man.
I was going to say, that's probably got to be one of the main reasons, and you kind of got that vibe when they started recruiting you heavily and through FaceTimes and Zooms, and I know that it enhances once you get on campus, you get to see those guys face-to-face, but, man, you were locked in for a long time. I mean, you officially committed to Tennessee in April, on April 15th, but you and I talked weeks before then. You were locked in, ready to roll, man. How did they get you? What was the hook for Tennessee, this new staff, to get you, a Florida boy, to want to come up to Knoxville that early on? And you're as confident now as you were that day back when we talked in late March?
Well, considering, one, Tennessee is my dream school, that's a big factor. But, you know, when Heupel and Golish offered me at UCF, I'm a very honest person. I don't like to beat around the bush. So I told them Tennessee was one of my dream schools, and if that offer were to come, it'd be kind of hard to keep all these other schools in the mix just because of that dream. And, you know, once they got up to Tennessee, they didn't forget about old Sneed. So they gave me a call, and they put me with a wonderful recruiting staff, and they started recruiting me the right way and the hard way, and I couldn't do anything better. Man, Tennessee, that's the only recruiting staff out of any other colleges that I've talked to. Normally, like other colleges, I'll talk to like a position coach, head coach. I might talk to a linebacker or some type of specialist coach, but I've never talked to any recruiting staff at any other college other than Tennessee. It's different, man, when you have that power T on that chest. It's a different meaning to it.
Vincent, why was Tennessee always your dream school? I mean, to my knowledge, I don't think you have any ties to the university. I could be wrong. Why has the Big Orange always been that school for you?
Well, the thing about Vincent Sneed, I'm a big old country boy, so that's a part of the woods, you know, I haven't been able to live in. So it'd be nice to live in that part of the town and be able to play some good football with some good fans, good music, good brotherhood. Just somewhere I want to be, man. And I can go fishing anytime I want to without anybody telling me no. So that's better, too.
Yeah, plenty of options up here in East Tennessee and in Knoxville and surrounding counties, absolutely. Talking with Tennessee commit Vincent Sneed, a four-star, strong side defensive end. Going to do a little bit of everything for Tennessee when you get here. Why don't you tell us exactly what the plans are for Tim Banks, Rodney Gardner, Mike Eckler for you? I know you can line up in a five, you can shift outside, you could stand up. Kind of what do they envision you as a player here at Tennessee?
Honestly, Coach Gardner wants me to be a hand-down defensive lineman. He wants me to play five technique to contain that outside and make sure no quarterback or running back is able to score on us, to be honest with you, man. They just want me to put in that work and trust into their process and everything will go smooth and fun because I promise you these men know some football. Just sitting in the rooms with them for just 15 to 20 minutes and listen to the way they talk about football, it's like scary how much they know. It's like very, very interesting. And they make sure your football IQ is at the top of the top. So they're going to make sure you're the best player and the best version of you that you can be at all times.
And that is something I've kind of picked up in talking to prospects like yourself and how this Tennessee staff is covering them or recruiting them, rather. They want all the physical traits and everything, and then they make sure that they get to know me and my family and everything, but they want to stress the importance of, you know, getting right upstairs in terms of smarts, your football IQ, being able to process information in a quick rate, not only at the quarterback position or the offensive line, but on defense as well. And so I hear what you're saying there. Hey, last thing, I'll get you out the door, man. Again, Vincent Sneed, Tennessee commit. Tennessee now has 9 commits in this class. You kind of see this class being made up. You got, you know, Taven Jackson, the quarterback of the class. Then, of course, you know, Elijah Herring and yourself kind of got this thing kicked off. And then you got some commits that are trickling in down here. What do you like about this class? Do you guys kind of have a bond that you're already starting? And how big of a recruiter are you being for Tennessee and talking to some of these guys who are considering Tennessee but maybe not have pulled the trigger yet?
Oh, man, I love this recruiting class. The bond we have is amazing. It's unbreakable considering, you know, none of us has all been able to meet all together. That's like just goes back to being able to have that power team, man. It's something different. When you get a bunch of group of guys who have never met each other but only talked on social media and are so tight the way they are, that's crazy. But, you know, and then on the recruiting side, you know how I am. I'm probably one of the best recruiters down here in the Southeast. If they gave me a job, I guarantee you I'd make 7 figures starting off because I'm just that good, man. But, you know, I like to – those guys who keep Tennessee in the mix, you know, you got to send them a text or two. If they don't respond, wait a few days, you know, send another. But you know me, man, I want everybody to come rep this power team with me and help me win some championships. So I'm going to try to do my best.
Maybe a career after football there, being a recruiting coordinator, right?
Maybe. You never know.
I love it, man. All right, tell the listeners of this podcast where we can find more of you, your Twitter, Instagram, all that type of stuff, and where they can follow you until, of course, you can get here on campus.
Well, my Instagram handle is SN55D. The reason that being is my number is 55, and I have 2 E's in my last name, so that kind of goes together really good. And then my Twitter handle is Sneed Vincent, so you can find me there. I'm always available. Just please don't send me a freaky text or anything, but I'm a nice guy. I love conversations, so I'm always here for you, especially if you're part of the Law family. It's nothing new to me. And, you know, you can find me at Winter Park casually working around the community, playing some football and trying to be the best version of me.
Really appreciate Tennessee commit Vincent Sneed for catching up with me and talking with you guys here on this podcast. Again, give him a follow on social media. One of the key parts of this 2022 recruiting class for Josh Heupel. Guys, let me tell you about RockAuto.com. It's the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models. It's now almost impossible for you to go to your local chain auto parts store to stock on all the parts you need. Why endure those often pointless and sometimes seemingly intimidating questioning from those guys behind the counter when you can go online and get all the parts, all the access you can possibly need from a family-owned business that's been doing it for 20 years. It's so much better than going and talking to a person over the counter, having them check the warehouses, and sometimes coming back with absolutely nothing. You have the computers, you have the access, you have rockauto.com right at home, and it's in your pocket. You can save time and money. Why spend up to sometimes 100% more, even 50% more, even 1% more? Why spend more when you can spend less at rockauto.com? The prices are always so reliably low, and they're the same for every single customer, the professionals or the do-it-yourselfers. So what I want you guys to do right now, I want you to go to rockauto.com, see all the parts for your car or your truck. They have them all available there again at rockauto.com. Write Locked On and how did you hear about us box so they know that we sent you. So write Locked On, you can write Locked On Vols, and the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. rockauto.com, it's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. And can't do a podcast without letting you guys know about Built Bar. Remember, this week only, ending on the 9th, you can go to BuiltBar.com and order the Grasshopper Cookie. It is Built Bar's version of the Thin Mint Cookie. The Grasshopper Cookie, Built Bar's version of the Thin Mint Cookie, but it's only this week. Again, it started earlier on Monday, and it ends today on the 9th, so you need to go take advantage of it right now. It's only got 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 5 grams of sugar, all that at BuiltBar.com. If you want to get the Grasshopper Cookie and also want to go get some of the OG favorites, the cherry, the raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, whatever the case may be, you can do all that at BuiltBar.com. Also, order a mix box where you'll get two bars of each flavor in that box. It is for the health-conscious guy and gal. You can lose or maintain weight. It's a protein bar that looks and tastes like a candy bar covered in 100% chocolate. So right now, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, it's the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That is awesome. Go get the bars that the Olympians get as well. It's all at BuiltBar.com. All right, guys, it's been a fun Friday show so far. We've talked Tennessee's new wide receiver commit, Maquarius Squirrel White. We have caught up with Tennessee defensive line commit here on this podcast, Vincent Snead. And now, guys, again, I feel like I have to apologize every time we get into a subject like this, but it's list season. We're in the middle of summer, guys. We got to talk about something to hold us over to football. And trust me, once SEC Media Days hits, it is a full go from there, because camp will be just a week or two after that. So we're going to do list season again here in segment number 3 of a Friday show. Again, I'm Eric Kane, radio host here in Knoxville, a writer for VolQuest.com, Tennessee rival site, and your host of Locked On Vols, @_Kaner on Twitter and @LockedOnVols. We'll be back to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Again, that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday next week for new episodes of Locked On Vols. All right, so which list season publication are we going to take part in today? Well, we're going to head back to Athlon Sports. They have come out with the top 10 storylines to be on the lookout for the SEC season in 2021. All right, so number one on the agenda, Alabama, the more things change. So you had a couple of players that have been there for a while. You had a lot of turnover, of course. Several first-round picks gone to the NFL. But Alabama, what will it look like entering 2021? How will it rebuild? Because you know Nick Saban still recruits at a high level. But it's going to be a new quarterback, a new identity for Alabama. That is number one. Number two, they phrase it as in the JT Daniels effect. And really, I think Georgia overall should be the top storyline in the SEC, entering the SEC this year, because my big thing is, if it's not this year for Georgia, then when is it? Okay? When is it? You return JT Daniels, a quarterback who I think can play like an elite quarterback in the the NCAA with the talent that's around him. You return, I believe, 3 of 5 offensive linemen, 2 really good running backs. You lost George Pickens to a torn ACL, but you still have a ton of wide receiver options. Oh, and you have Eric Gilbert and Darnell Washington as tight ends, where both could be used as wide receivers as well.
That offense is incredible. Defensively, you lost some talent in the front seven, but Georgia's always good in the front seven and on defense. If it's not Georgia this year, when will it be Georgia? Or, better said, will it ever be Georgia? Okay, JT Daniels came in, played the last four games of the season for Georgia. Of course, he was still nursing a torn ACL after transferring over from USC. Georgia tried to start a couple of quarterbacks, settled on Stetson Bennett, a former walk-on. He played the majority of the season at quarterback, but when JT Daniels came in, I mean, and it was, to his credit, it was to a little less of a competition, but JT Daniels is far and away better. 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, averaged 307 passing yards a game. JT Daniels is a good quarterback, and so I think the number one storyline, Athlon has it as number two, but the number one storyline should be, if not now, when for Georgia, because now is the year. Because, again, Alabama in the West, let's look at the West real quick. Alabama in the West, completely starting over. Now, Alabama's still going to be fine because you replace the talent you lost with blue-chip prospects, 4- and 5-star prospects. Bryce Young's going to be a really, really good quarterback. You're going to have good talent on the offensive line. You're going to be replenished with wide receivers. This is Alabama, okay? But it's replenishing everything. How long will it take to find its identity and, you know, get rolling again this season like we've seen Alabama in years past? My guess, not long, but still. In the West, you have LSU, who was trying to bounce back for an abysmal season after winning the 2019 National Championship. You have Texas A&M, who had a really sharp, sharp season in 2020, but you lost Kellen Mond. You're going to be starting Haynes King at quarterback this year, who I think is going to be a baller. But again, anytime you make a quarterback change, big old question marks there. Mississippi State, are you going to rebound Ole Miss? How good will Ole Miss be? Okay, in Auburn, I'm not expecting anything from Auburn. Arkansas is going to be Arkansas. So, you know, in the West, that's a discussion that's still Alabama's West. We'll see what Ole Miss can do. But in the East, Kentucky's not winning the East. Missouri's not winning the East. Tennessee's not winning the East. South Carolina's not winning the East. Vanderbilt's not winning the East. Okay, Florida is replacing, what is it? I saw a nice stat the other day. I'll need to bring it on the podcast next week. But Florida's replacing over 50, or well over 50% of its production from last year on the offensive side of the football. Okay, starting anew at quarterback, starting new at tight end, starting new at top two wide receivers, starting over on the offensive line, on defense as well. If it's not now, when will it be for Georgia? Okay, I'll get off my soapbox, and I spent the entirety of this segment pretty much talking about Georgia. Athlon has them at number two as the top 10 storylines to watch in the SEC season entering 2021. I would have them at number one. All right, so you've got Alabama at number one. You've got the JT Daniels effect slash Georgia at number two. Number three, have Jimbo's Aggies arrived? And again, I mentioned they had a really nice 8-1 record in SEC play. Got blown out by Alabama, but had a real case to be in the college football playoff last year. But starting over at quarterback, how will they respond? We'll have to see. Number four, LSU on the mend. Won the 2019 National Championship. Were 3-5 through eight games last year. Did not finish off strong either. Or actually did, beating Florida in a huge upset. That was the throwing of the shoe game. What's LSU got this year? What's LSU got? We'll have to see. It's got a new quarterback, potentially. We'll have to keep tracks on that. Florida, forgetting the ending. Florida was so impressive last year, had one of the best offenses dating back to the Tim Tebow's days, but ended the season on a three-game losing streak. And, of course, in that bowl game against, I believe it was Oklahoma, right? Yeah, in the Cotton Bowl, yeah. I mean, the entire team was gutted. I mean, everybody was sitting out because it was a bowl game. Kyle Trask played, but it was not great. So, Florida, what will Florida look like on the rebound? Number six, rebooting at Auburn, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. Talking about starting over with new head coaches. Corral for Heisman. I think Matt Corral could be a dark horse for Heisman. I really do, because I think Ole Miss will score a lot of points. I think Matt Corral will throw for a lot of touchdowns. But will Ole Miss win enough for Matt Corral to be in consideration? We'll have to see. Of course, it's competitive in the SEC West, but you know, how will it look this year with a couple of teams restarting? Number eight, getting the air raid off the ground. And talking about Mississippi State and Mike Leach, started off really, really strong, but that was it. After that week one upset win, that was pretty much it. Number nine, year two at Arkansas and Missouri, Sam Pittman got off to a strong start with Arkansas, finished the year 3-7, but you like some things that he did there as first-year head coach. Eli Drinkwitz, he was, in my opinion, really, really sharp in year number one, but how good can Mizzou be in the SEC East when typically you'll have Florida and Georgia leading the way? Tennessee hopes to get back in that conversation. But, hey, can Mizzou make some noise this year with a second-year quarterback and Connor Bazelak and returning a lot of players? with Florida reloading, Tennessee essentially reloading with a new staff. South Carolina, I don't expect much out of them. Vanderbilt, the same thing. Well, maybe. We'll have to see what Mizzou does this year. And number 10, Kentucky's balanced attack. You know, Kentucky's not winning the East, but I'm a huge Mark Stoops fan. I can't deny that. I think he's, with what he's done at Kentucky, with what he's been given, I think he's a really good coach. They win at the line of scrimmage every single year, offensively and defensively. You build the identity of the offense on the run game. Kentucky returns two really good running backs. Kentucky's got two quarterbacks in Joey Gatewood and Bo Allen. And you got a new offensive coordinator for the National Football League. Can Kentucky figure out that offense to keep up with some teams whenever you're going, you know, back and trading back and forth touchdowns? We'll have to see. But those are the 10 things to look out for, the top 10 storylines per Athlon Sports entering the 2021 SEC football season. Tennessee was in there again, starting over, you know, rebooting and all that. It's, you know, it's a lot of the same things we're talking about, how Josh Heupel is the complete opposite of Jeremy Pruitt. The offense must get better, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to come up with the top five storylines for Tennessee football entering the 2021 season. We'll do that in the weeks to come here on this podcast. But what are your top storylines for the SEC entering this season? Is it now or never for Georgia like me? Is it more Tennessee Volunteer-centric? And that's fine. I mean, this is the Tennessee Volunteer podcast. What would your top storylines be for the SEC season entering this 2021 year? Tweet me at _Kane or at LockedOnVols. I'd love to know. I'd love to know. We'll talk about it in next week's podcast if we get some feedback. All right, guys, I appreciate it. This has been a really fun show. Again, big thanks to Vincent Snead for checking in on this podcast. Marquarius White, the ninth commit for Tennessee in the class of 2022. And most of all, thank you guys for listening as you do each and every week. We'll be back Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for brand new episodes next week. Again, I'm Eric Kane at _Kane or on Twitter at LockedOnVols. We'll be back 5 days a week beginning July the 19th. Guys, I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Have a safe and fun weekend and enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody.